Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
Well, it's great to see you this morning. I'm going to do something I've never done here before. I'm going to re-preach a series that I've already preached. In fact, I'm going to re-preach a series it was the very first series that I preached back in 2018. Now, if you can remember what I preached back in 2018, well, kudos for you, because I can only remember when I take a look at my notes. I was praying and asking God, okay, well, what do you want me to preach on? And I normally plan my sermon series anywhere from 2 months to 6 months in advance. That's just kind of my rhythm. And what I had the sense of was that we as a congregation needed to be inspired to a deeper faith, to be able to believe God for more, to be able to trust Him for who He is, to be able to trust Him with our lives. And as I was praying about it, the series came back to me, and I thought, oh, all right, well, we'll do that. And then I got to this week, and it's been a hard week. My mother was taken into the hospital Thursday. She has an aneurysm, an aortic aneurysm. It's in the process of bursting, and so she either has, you know, first of all, they told us she had hours. Now they're saying days, maybe weeks, and so it's so she's going through this process. My sister's flown back from New Zealand, and her husband and my niece from Australia is there with her today. They arrived last night, and so we're just walking this through. And I realized, oh, so God, both I need to be reminded of the content of this, because God's faithful and God is who He says He is. And it was helpful because I had pretty good notes, and so instead of having 8 or 9 hours as I do you'd normally do in a sermon, I can revamp one in 3 or 4. So this is God's grace to me in all ways. So we're going to be taking a look at kind of the 5 basic truths of our salvation. And my prayer is that they will prod you to believe God for more. The 5 basic truths are this, and you can put them on your hand. God is who He says He is. God will do what He says He'll do. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I'll do. And the Word, the Word of God is alive and active. God is who He says He is. God will do what He says He'll do. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do, and the Word of God is alive and active. Today we're going to take a look at God is who He says He is. You know, many of the problems we experience as Christians stem from one or two things, either an incorrect knowledge of God or a failure to believe that God is who He says He is. If you have a warped vision of God and a warped understanding of who He is, that kind of faith will warp your life. You know, God is faithful and He is kind, but when I lose sight of that, my insecurities flare. God is in control. God is loving. But when I lose sight of that, I can get overwhelmed. If I lose sight of the love of God and the grace of God, then it's pretty easy to get down on oneself. Now, you know, God doesn't get down on us. He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't say, oh, you're insecure, or, you know, you are, and so I'm going to condemn you for that, or you're anxious, and so I'm going to condemn you for that. No, He says, I want more for you. I want to show you who I am. And if you could just see who I am and you could see my heart, then you could start to see what I want to do both in your life and in the lives of those around you. What you understand about God is the most important thing about you, and it affects you deeply and profoundly. Now, when I say God is who he says he is, that is different than saying God is who I think he is, right? There is a difference there. I know a lot of people who essentially make their own God. Oh, yeah, I'll take a snatch from this philosophy, and yeah, well, this feels good to believe that, and yeah, we'll take a snatch over here, and they kind of cobble together their own God, and then they say, this is God. Now, for we who follow Jesus, we get our revelation of who God is from his word, the Bible. That is the primary word. So whether I feel something or see something, if it doesn't line up with this word, that isn't who he is. And there's a reason for that, right? Because we cannot know God unless God reveals himself to us. There's two reasons for that. One, Bible says we're spiritually dead until Christ makes us alive. We're spiritually dead, we don't perceive the spiritual realm. We can't perceive who God really is. And so unless God shows us himself, we're not going to get it. The other thing is that God is so vast, so big, so huge, that our finite minds cannot comprehend the infinite. We're kind of like a group of blind people who are sitting around an elephant, and one person grabs a hold of the elephant's leg and says, oh, an elephant is like a tree. Another person grabs a hold of his tail. Well, the elephant is like a rope. Other one grabs a hold of his trunk, and, well, the elephant is like a fire hose. And, of course, they're each getting this incomplete picture of what an elephant looks like. But when it comes to God, God is infinitely bigger than that. And if we just grasp what's in front of us, we will inevitably get a wrong or a truncated view of God. Now, we believe that God has revealed himself in the Bible, his word, and that makes God different than the other religions that we see, right? So you'll hear people say, well, you know, we all believe in the same God. You know, you have your God. You know, so Islam has their God and we have our God. But no, just because we believe in one God, God has revealed himself to us in a different way than the Islamic faith would believe. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Spirit is God, and they're all one. You know, Muslims don't believe that. That's not part of their faith. Our God is very different than theirs. Our God is different than what people cobble together and say, this is theirs. This is what I believe God is. God is who he reveals himself to be. God is who he says he is. And so as we're learning about God, as we're walking through who God is, we want to lead into who he reveals himself to be, not who we want him to be. Now, our culture tends to say, well, God is who I say he is, and, you know, I like this piece of spirituality. I like that God is loving, and he's so loving he would never, ever say that I've done anything wrong. I like that God is always there so I can call on him for help, but he never demands anything from me. In our culture, God is tolerant and accepts everything. Oh, he might judge the terrorists and the drug dealers, but for the destruction that they bring. But God would never judge me. I am just doing what's right in my own eyes. The God often people have is the God of their own making. And someone who's there for me but doesn't demand anything. And that's me saying God is who I think he is or want him to be. Here's what you need to know about God. Your faith doesn't change who God is. What you believe about God doesn't make an iota of difference in terms of who God is. God is who he is despite what we believe. But when our faith actually conforms to who God is, when our faith is expressing the reality of God as he has revealed himself to be, when our faith is congruent with God, then what happens is that there is a deep, settled spiritual movement in our lives that has a way of molding and making us so that we can move towards him. And so that's what we're looking for. Now, it might seem that I'm picking on non-Christians today, and I don't want to do that because I've seen Christians with really warped faith too. I've known a lot of Christians who were legalists. And to them, what living out the Christian life was, I've got to please God by following the rules. And if you don't follow the rules, you're in trouble. And so their faith was all about following the rules. And most legalists I know kind of had a God who, if they stepped off the path, if they broke the rules, God had his spiritual stick to kind of bop them on the head, right? That's kind of, and I know a couple of churches that lost whole generations of kids because of legalism. And they made a God in their own making. They took pieces of scripture, but they missed the point. Of course, the point of the Bible is, I've come that you might have life, and I've come that I might have a relationship with you, and I've come that you might know me. Keeping the rules, it's a symptom, not the way our faith is lived out. I've also known people on the other side. I've known Christians who think, well, you know, God is so loving, so gracious, and, you know, I've received him into my life. I can do whatever I want. That's not true either. You know, God will forgive me. Doesn't matter what I do. God will forgive me. And they go and they strain the grace and the mercy of God because they say, I'm fine. But that's not God either, right? For God says, I'm holy. And he says, be holy, because I'm holy. God has a way of coming to us and saying, no, it's not those things. But he says, if you'll take me at my word, you'll have access to my mercy and my grace, my compassion, my forgiveness. When your faith is in line with who I actually am, there is something good and powerful that allows you to grow. Because, of course, you were created to be in the image of God. And when the fall came, that image was shattered. But what Jesus says, is the Word of God says in the New Testament, is that God is restoring his image in us. But if you have a misunderstanding of who God is, then I need to do this, and you're trying to conform to something that's not him, and the image of God in you gets distorted. So what does God say about himself? Well, he has a lot to say about himself, and it's a work of a lifetime to see who he is. And none of us get it perfectly right. We see through a glass darkly. None of us has the corner on, I've got this absolutely, absolutely right. But as you listen to God in his word, he starts to reveal himself to you. You start to see who he is. You heard a little earlier that Mike read Isaiah 40. I want to walk you just through a few of these verses here so that you can catch a glimpse where we're, what it's saying and who God is. So Isaiah chapter 40, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and his people are like grasshoppers. What does that say about God? Well, if you've ever been up in the CN Tower and looked down and seen the people, they're just kind of really small. And God is above all. God is so much bigger, greater, grander than we are, than humanity is. God is over all, and he is eternal. He was there when the earth was founded. Look what he goes on to say. So he stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught, and he reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. The people who Isaiah was writing to would have been very familiar with the powers of their world. The kings of Babylon, the kings that had rule over the earth. And those kings would be seen as powerful because they conducted mighty armies. And God says, you think they're powerful? Huh. You know, they spring up, but compared to me, they come to naught. The next generation will hardly remember them, and the generation and the generation after that will forget them. They're like chaff and that's blown away. What's God like? Well, he is overall, and he is great, and he's powerful. He's more powerful than all the rulers of the world. Let's go on. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name? Because of the great power and his mighty strength, not one of them is missing. What does it say about God? Don't know if you've ever looked up at the stars at night. There are a lot of them. It says he knows them each by name. God is incredibly smart. You know, we have IQ tests, and we see smart people, and we run into smart people, and we listen to smart people, but we are like ants in our intellect compared to God. God is amazing in terms of who he is. Verse 27. Why do you complain, O Jacob? Why do you say, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord and my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. You're saying, you know, I've been calling out to God, and God, are you there? And he's saying, yeah, your ways aren't hidden from me. Just my understanding is a lot greater than yours is. And so he goes on to say, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. What does this say about God? He's involved in your life. He shows himself to be there and to sustain and to help us and to walk with us. And we tend to focus on, you know, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. But that promise comes out of the character of God and who God is. And you can rely on the promises of God because you can rely on the character of God, even when life is hard. This is one of the marks of spiritual maturity. A spiritually mature person will have a deep, settled faith in the character of God. They will know that God is good even when life isn't. They will trust the faithfulness of God even when life seems dark. They will trust the grace and mercy of God even when their feelings are saying, and even when Satan says, oh, you know what you did, they will trust the character of God, even when life says different. The question is, will you trust that God is who he says he is? Will you trust God is good when life isn't? Will you trust the strength of God when you feel weak? Will you trust the provision of God when you don't understand, but you need strength and God and for God to provide? Will you trust the wisdom of God when the world says, go this way, and God says, go that way? Will you trust God? A spiritually mature person has a deep, settled faith in the character of God. That's what it means to grow in faith. So the question is how do you embrace the character of God? Well, first, you have to know the character of God. Know what the Bible says about God. So when you're reading Scripture, and I am assuming that you're reading Scripture, when you're reading Scripture and it says something about God, take note of that. Sometimes the Scripture is just really explicit. God says, this is who I am. We sang it about a little earlier, but Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 and 7, the Lord passed in front of Moses proclaiming the Lord, he's compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to the thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet does not leave the guilty unpunished. God just says, this is who I am, and it's just really, really plain. Other times you're reading Scripture, and it's a little more subtle. You see God the Father in the story of the prodigal son, where the son runs away from home and basically destroys his life. And he comes back out of the pig pen, and the father sees him, and the father runs towards him with arms open wide and embraces him. That's who God is. You can trust that. So part of embracing the character of God is getting to know the character of God. The second thing is that we need to respond to the revelations of God. So when we see who God is, God, you're compassionate and gracious, it's totally proper to respond to that in worship. And we sing songs around here all the time about the character of God, how faithful God is and how good God is and how strong God is. It's also good to respond in prayer. God, your word says that you are merciful. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Lord, your word declares that you are compassionate. I want to thank you, Lord, for your compassionate and being compassionate to me. Thank you for your compassion that we see with the cross of Jesus. And the third way, of course, to respond to the revelation of who God is to reflect the character of God. So when God shows you who he is, like, you are not God. You're not going to reflect his omnipotence, or you're not going to be all-knowing or all-powerful. But when you see the goodness of God or the holiness of God, that's something that he calls us to reflect. And then the last thing in terms of embracing the character of God is ask God to show you who he is. See, as you start praying, Lord, help me to see you more clearly. Wonderful prayer, because we don't always see clearly. God, show me who you are. That was Moses' prayer, and that elicited this great vision of God. God, show me who you are. When you walk into the Scripture, God, show me who you are. God is who he says he is. He's revealed himself in his word. And what we know this, he's good. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for your graciousness and compassion. Thank you, Lord, for being overall and strong. So, Lord, I'm praying for Asbury that you would cause faith to arise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.